I am Jace Curry, the Director of Community Outreach at Women Offshore. A popular topic here at Women Offshore has centered on maternity benefits at shipping and offshore companies. In this mini-series, you and I are going to learn about different opportunities around maternity benefits and how women are accomplishing their career dreams and family planning. This is the Women Offshore Podcast. Women Offshore is a 501c3, a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting a diverse workforce on the water. Hello, and welcome back to the Women Offshore Podcast. Today, I have with me Carrie Norton, who's going to tell us a little bit about her career offshore, pumping milk and sending that home, and how she managed being a mom to two babies while continuing to work out at sea. Carrie, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hi, Jace, and I'm really excited to be here too and to speak with you all.
Yay! So to start off, tell us a little bit about your career offshore. What did you do and what made you venture out to sea?
Well, I started out with supply boats with Edison Schwest. I did that for about 2.5 years. And then I ventured into the big oil with deep sea drilling and got on with Pride. I started out in Brazil and then moved to the Gulf for a little bit and then was able to take on a new build project in South Korea. I spent about a year there. That is where I kind of fell in love with the whole aspect of drilling and learned a lot about everything from just what Halliburton does to Schlumberger. And I really, really thought that this was something I could do for a while. And so I stayed with that ship and it went to Angola. And that is where I got older and my husband and I talked about the future and how we really wanted to start a family. He's from a big family. I'm from a smaller family. So we said, I think that this is it. And so, yeah, the rest is history.
Yeah. And so when you were at the academy and kind of making your career choices, did you ever think about having a family or was that just something like not on the radar for you guys?
Oh, no, definitely. Even though I hadn't met my husband at the time when I was at the academy, I definitely wanted to have a family and I definitely wanted to have a career, but I didn't really know how those two were going to work together. But I'm kind of one of these people that believe in fate. So I figured not stress about it until the time came.
I feel like there's two schools of thought there, right? Like one is, oh, we'll just figure it out when we get there, or there's the people that plan it out from day one and they're like, okay, I'm going to go to sea for 5 years and I'm going to reach this rank and then I'm going to come shoreside. So it's just really interesting to see, you know, different thoughts that people have as they're planning their career and their families as well.
Yeah, I don't think I ever really thought that I would come ashore and then start a family. I think that I always thought to myself, I could make it work. But of course, like we just talked about, I hadn't met my husband yet. So I think in my head, I thought that maybe if I did fall in love, it would probably be with somebody on board the ship. And so I think that meeting my husband, who was ashore, actually worked out in my favor because yeah. I was able to have the best of both worlds, really. I was able to do my dream career for a while, and my husband was totally okay with doing his work at home stuff and taking care of the kids, and he was a rock star. And when I got home, he got a little bit of a break because I was able to just spend all this amazing time with my kids that most people don't get to do. So it was kind of like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, definitely a huge admiration for, you know, stay-at-home parents in general, especially stay-at-home dads when women are at sea. it's a non-traditional role to begin with. And then you have the element of like your partner's not always there or even close by, or in your case, even on the same continent, you know, to help with things that may come up. And so you have had two kids while you've been at sea, but you know, the first time that you found out you were pregnant, what happened? Like, did you tell your employer right away? Did you go out for a couple of hitches? How did that play out for you?
Oh, so I wanted to make sure that I wasn't stuck in a situation where my company felt awkward about me being on the rig. So pregnant. So I worked with my rig manager and I let him know, hey, my husband and I really want to start a family. What is this going to look like? How are you going to treat me? How is this going to work? Is there a possibility that I can continue to work on the ship and do everything that I normally do? Or are there going to be options for me to work on shore? But I was working in Angola, so.
Yeah, that's like a whole different level of planning and complication right there.
Oh my goodness, you don't even know. So I kind of opened a can of worms when I talked to him. He was incredible. He was my advocate for sure, 100%. And he said that I should talk to HR. And again, I was working in Angola, so HR was my first stop, was Angolan HR business partner. And then when they couldn't answer, they kind of passed it on to Dubai. And so Dubai was basically the people that I had to touch bases with. And they were the people that I worked with 100%. But they really liaisoned with Houston because I was an American citizen. I was a U.S. citizen, I'm sorry. Right. And so I was based with U.S. laws. So really, Houston was the people. But again, they had never really had my situation before. So yeah. Between, it was crazy, between my rig manager and Houston, they worked it out that if I were to ever get pregnant, that they would figure out a way that I would come ashore and work until my FMLA. So thank goodness I did my homework, because I went from offshore to onshore. And the next time I came back offshore, I did get a positive pregnancy test while I was on board the rig. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. But I think that's such an important point too, of knowing what the company's policies are. And a lot of times there aren't policies spelled out, right? So having that, okay, well, what are even my options if this were to happen, you know, can be huge, either in the onboarding process or like you did in the family planning process, really.
Yeah, big time, Jace. I mean, I was really scared. I was really nervous. I'm talking to you now like it was totally chill, but no, I was crying. I was frustrated. I didn't even know who to turn. All I knew was my rig manager was super amazing and a huge advocate for me and was just going to work with me. And if I came to any hurdles or roadblocks, he'd be there to like help me through them. But there were absolutely, and I don't think there is still to this day, an offshore maternity policy for women. And so I was a huge advocate to try to build something, because it is very hardening to go through it. And I know, because I went through it twice, and both times there was no maternity leave policy. They just kind of said, oh, well, you know what to do because you've been through it once. Yeah. It was frustrating. And this was 2017. I mean, scary.
So to that point, Carrie, do you feel that one was handled better than the other? Like, had better policies come around by the time you were pregnant again? Or, I mean, alternately, it was the middle of a downturn. So did you feel like there was anything that was just handled better in either scenario?
Well, to be completely honest, I felt like I had more support from my rig manager during the first pregnancy, but obviously it was a lot more tears in my first pregnancy because there were no policies. And then my second pregnancy was with a different rig manager, and it was almost like he kind of didn't really want to take any kind of side at all. And he just kind of let me do my thing. And so he was just like, just do what you did before and contact the people you did before. And I have other things that I have to do. And I totally understand him, but I didn't get that connection with him than I did with my other rig manager. So I don't know. It's a hard one because it was kind of scary not having as, I had his full support, but I didn't feel like he was as connected as my other rig manager.
Yeah. And having someone who can advocate for you, and especially, you know, if they have children themselves and understand kind of the ins and outs, because there's so much stuff you don't know until you're a parent, no matter how well read and researched you are. But having someone who can advocate is huge, for sure.
Definitely. 100%.
So tell us about your pumping journey, because I know you have some super crazy stories. Like you and I have talked about, obviously, no matter how a parent chooses to feed their baby, like, it's totally up to them. But I admire you for pumping and continuing to pump while offshore. I know how much work goes into that. And if you have any advice or any tips or just anything that you learned in that, we'd love to hear it.
All right, Chase. This could be a long subject, but yes, I totally agree. Fed is best. So I had a lot of passion in regards to breastfeeding and breast milk. And I know every woman's journey is different. And I know some people are able to just have that smooth transition with their baby, and other people struggle, and other women just can't. And I totally, totally have heard every story from a lot of different women. And my first baby, my first pregnancy, it was a struggle. I really had a hard time with the latch. So I did a lot of pumping, which was probably a very good thing. So I was very intimate with my breast pumps because I knew I was going to be leaving and my husband was going to be feeding my son full time the bottle. And so it was kind of a blessing in disguise, because when I was leaving, he was pretty much all bottle. So I learned a lot about my breast pump, and I found out pretty quickly that, I mean, again, everybody's journey is going to be different, but having something besides the breast pump would have been huge. They make these manual pumps. It's kind of more like a suction kind of thing, and you can just have it as a backup just in case your breast pump doesn't work. For some weird reason, you're like using your breast pump and you just can't troubleshoot it. It's just not working. Oh my gosh, had to, like, I think they call it expressing once for like 36 hours all the way to the rig until I could figure out how to troubleshoot my breast pump. And that was kind of one of my biggest life lessons with breastfeeding, breast pumping. I was so in pain because I was so used to having the breast pump helping me that, thank goodness, I knew how to hand express. And I went through all of that stuff because that's like literally your last resort. But yeah, I mean, I was in US, living in the US and traveling to Angola, which is just a third world country. And sometimes they don't understand basic sanitary. So I wasn't keeping the milk, like you had mentioned, kind of. Yeah. I was just keeping my flow going just so I could, for 28 days, so I could get back to my son and try to get back what I had supplied him. And so, and possibly, you know, breastfeeding him, but more getting home to pump some more when the situation was more sanitary. But that being said, the rig, if you have the client and the ship's officer's approval, you can save milk. And I'll give you guys a couple of tips if you are looking to try to save your milk and ship it home or carry it home to your baby back at home. Obviously, pack some supplies that are going to keep your milk sanitary. Like, I use the breast milk bags, and you can either put it in a refrigerator for a certain amount of days and then transfer it to the freezer on the ship. Again, I couldn't do this because the client was not going to sign off on having human, they called it like a human liquid.
Yeah, it's hard if you have a client who doesn't understand, or even a company man, because it's so discretionary, right? Offshore, you're working for different clients, potentially different people every, 30, 45 days.
It was hard because I really, really wanted to keep it. When I found out a company called Milk Store was able to ship all of my milk home, even after a month of pumping, they were going to be able to store it for me and ship it for me. I was really frustrated that I hit that roadblock that I really could not go through, and that was the client, because they basically are renting the ship and what they say goes. And so I decided that I would get the biggest box I could and fill it with as much milk that I could keep on the bridge fresh. So the milk will stay good for a certain amount of days. And so I just kept it in my refrigerator on the bridge. And the guys on the bridge were okay with that. So just make sure your coworkers are okay with that. Or some of the women that have also done my journey working offshore and pumping offshore, they gave me some really amazing tips that they had their own refrigerator in their room, and they were able to be able to store their personal supplies in their room. I unfortunately did not have that luxury. My ship did not want to supply me my own refrigerator, so I had to use the bridge refrigerator. I have another tip though. If you are in the same situation as me and you are not able to get your own refrigerator in your room, I got a cooler bag. They look like a purse. No one will even know you're carrying a cooler. I got a cooler bag. L.L. Bean sells one. They're really cute. And I filled it up with ice. Lord help me, every day. And I put my freshly pumped milk in that cooler bag, and I didn't have to run up to the bridge because my room was a couple of floors down from the bridge. So I was able to pump and put that supply on ice until I was able to get to my shift on the bridge. So I was a little skeezed out about putting my personal supplies into a community fridge. So I did get these security bags. I think they're made mainly for money, but you can, I know this sounds crazy.
I'm sorry.
Isn't that hilarious?
But it is.
No, it's so funny. I think it's hilarious. And my husband agreed. He's like, I think that you should put your milk in these security bags. So they have these like little tamper-proof seals. So if somebody I'm sure like most of the guys on the rig, when they realized what I was doing, they were probably so freaked out and scared that there was probably no way they were even going to get near the refrigerator. They were probably using refrigerators everywhere else on the rig, but I don't know. I didn't really ask them, but they were in tamper-proof bags. So when I took them out to pack them in the milk store container and bring them home, I checked them, double checked them, triple checked them. So yeah, I don't know. Everybody's journey is going to be different, but those were some fun things. Another journey I took with some breast milk that I was so when you're traveling, especially like 36 hours, like I was doing pumping or expressing every 4 to 6 or 6 to 8. It depends on how your milk is and how it's coming in depends on how frequently you need to release it. But when I was traveling, I kept that cooler bag with me. But because it had ice in it, some security people are very weary of that and they don't trust you. Mm. One of my most heartbreaking situations was leaving the rig in Angola, getting on a fast boat from the rig to land, which is 4.5 hours. So, yep, I had to pump or express. And then getting to the airport and having all of my clean supplies and pumping clean milk into a bag to save for my son, putting it in that iced chest bag and I kept refilling the ice to make sure that it was cold. But getting all the way from the Angolan airport to Germany, I'm not going to mention which airport because I don't really want to say negative things about anybody, but I had quite a bit of milk and they made me dump it all out, throw it out in the trash. And I was on the verge of tears because I literally was in pain. And I said, well, I'm literally going to do exactly what you just threw out, like 2 minutes from now. Like, so what you're doing to me is kind of silly because like, I just produced that, like my body produced that. And they just didn't understand that it was like a human milk. Yes. And I think it was because it was a body fluid. I'm not sure 100%. And things might have changed. This was back in 2017, but yeah, there was some women that were also like kind of working for TSA in Germany that were like, they couldn't say anything. They could feel my pain, but I said, I'm a working mom and I'm trying to just bring back my milk for my son and you're making me throw it out. And he's like, yeah, I am. So it was hard. That was a hard one.
That is so devastating. Like, yeah. First of all, not even being able to bring back all the milk from your hitch and then having what you did have. Like, I know I cried like I told you the other night, I'm like, I cry if I lose an ounce, like if I spill it, never mind being at the airport and being told like, oh yeah, you have to dump, you know, several bottles full.
Jace, I just remembered. So it was the reason why they made me dump it was twofold. That's right. I remember now 100%. The baby was not with me. That's what it was. If I had the baby with me, then I would have the capacity to keep the milk up to a certain amount, but mainly like it was a lot. It was a significant amount, but because the baby wasn't with me, I was forced to throw the milk out. And then I was trying to explain to them the reason why I have the milk is because the baby isn't with me. So that doesn't make any sense. Like the reason why I have the milk is because I'm pumping and I'm saving the milk for my baby. So when I get home, I can feed it to my baby. And they just kept kind of arguing with me like, well, you can't keep it then because the baby isn't with you. If the baby was with me, I wouldn't have the milk. So we wouldn't even be having this conversation. And then they made me throw, on top of that, for a different reason, they made me throw the ice pack out because they had partially melted and it was a liquid. And so I couldn't keep it because it was over a certain amount. That's right.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean, I can kind of laugh about it now, but I was just really sad. I was really down because I felt like I was doing so much. I was like a superhuman. And then this one guy, and I'm sure he was just following protocol. He I had to throw it all out. And then I didn't have an ice pack. So I'd have to, yeah, I think I had to find some ice and it was just crazy. It was just insane. It was just really sad, but I kept going and I did the same thing with my second baby, went through it all again, but I knew that Germany was an airport I was going to try to avoid from then on and also try to use milk stored as much as I can to actually ship the milk and not have to carry it with me.
Carrie, I just admire you so much for that. That is such a labor of love. And then the logistics alone are enough to make your head spin. So thank you for sharing this with us, and hopefully it helps someone who is potentially going to go through the same situation in the future. Was there anything that you felt your company did really well, either through your pregnancy or returning to work or postpartum, anything like that?
Regarding, there was no offshore maternity leave policy in that regard. That's probably the only thing that I was disappointed in. But everything else, I just talked to either my HR business support in Houston or my rig manager, and they pretty much gave me anything I wanted. I mean, I was able to expense the milk store, which is huge money, but it's, I mean, something that a company should do for moms who do decide to go back to work and want to continue to supply their baby with fresh milk. I think every company should give that woman that chooses that decision, of course, that right to, you know, have that paid for by the company. So I think that women should definitely ask for that. My company gave me a very safe place to work in my own country in transition to having the baby. They gave me FMLA. So I know that's a federal thing, but you know, every country is probably going to be different. But they supported me through all that, and they gave me my job back, the same position and same ship, all the same crew. But I think they could have put me anywhere in the world, really. They didn't have to put me back on the same ship. They just had to give me my position back. I just really felt like I was able to be a part of something different on shore, and I was able to give back my knowledge of being offshore in Angola on a drill ship. You don't realize that working in the office, a lot of people have actually never been on a ship, so they don't know. Yeah. They don't really know the, like, some idiosyncrasies that you may take for granted. So I just felt really fortunate to be able to feel that onshore lifestyle, so much so that the guys on the rig were, I think, a little jealous. I think they just thought that my life onshore would be so great that I would just decide to stay onshore. But it's not always like that.
If you don't mind me asking, at what point in your pregnancy did you come ashore?
So my first pregnancy, I was able to go home after the hitch that I got my first positive pregnancy test. I was able to go home, get a full safe to sail approval from my doctor. And my doctor's like, yeah, I don't see any problem with you going back and forth to Angola. There was no Zika at the time. It was just like the malaria, but I didn't live on shore where the malaria was. So he was completely comfortable with me going back to work. And just basically, I think at the third trimester, he was going to say, let's do an all stop because of the doctor's visits with my OB. But when I went back to work after getting the full bill of health from my doctor, the captain was uncomfortable with me being on the ship pregnant and just said that he was going to try to work with the office to get me a shore-based job where I could help out where I could. So they just felt that it was better for me and the baby to be in the United States. So they made the decision for me. But if I were to have made the decision, I could have stayed until my third trimester.
I know we have a lot of people who want to help make a difference for women and mothers at sea. Are there any changes that we haven't talked about that you feel either companies or crew members can make to support moms at sea?
For crew members, women and men, like, please don't judge women that have decided to become moms and chosen to go back to sea. I feel like there was a lot of judgment about me, and I feel like I just kind of ignored it. But if women and men are more understanding of the choices women make to become pregnant have a family and start a family and choose to go back to sea, they should be more understanding. I feel like I was definitely judged, and it was almost like they knew I was temporary. They always thought that because I had a family, I was going to just quit. They never promoted me after I became pregnant and became a mom. And I think they just thought that I was temporary.
If you don't have a lot of role models or know a lot of women who have gone back to sea after becoming moms, or they went back for 6 months and then went shoreside or found a different career or something like that, it can be easy to assume that's what's going to happen.
It is. It is. It's really hard. And even I had an advocate for my promotions, and I talked to her, and she was a captain, and she even said to me, if you were my DPO, I probably would have thought you weren't coming back either. So there's a lot of prejudice against women who choose to have a family and then continue to work offshore. It's really hard. It's already hard as a woman to choose leaving your family every time, not including a baby and a child or a toddler and a newborn. So if you want to help a woman that has chosen to go back to sea as a coworker, just try to support her and talk about positive things and not, well, maybe you should be home with your family. Maybe this isn't a place for you. Those thoughts and words are not helpful to a woman who's decided to go back to sea.
It's almost like, would you say that to a man who had just had a child, right? And like understanding, okay, if you wouldn't say that to not a woman, maybe don't say that to a new mom who's A, hormonal, B, like hair is probably falling out, and C, might rip your throat out.
Honestly, that's going back to their room and pumping for an hour and a half and then literally going to take a shower, sleeping, and then getting up early and pumping for another hour and a half. But I mean, it's hard. It's hard. It's not easy in any aspect of it. It's if you decide that you want to have a baby and you want to have a career, it's a very big decision. It's a commitment for sure.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing just your wisdom, all your advice, especially on pumping and being able to ship milk home. I remember talking to you after I'd spoken to one of our executives and being like, Carrie, they'll ship your milk home. Oh my God.
You are a huge advocate, Jace. Thank you for that, because my spirit got lifted so much after knowing that I could keep some of it. I mean, I was just pumping and dumping literally, like, just to keep my milk supply. It was really hard, but I was doing it.
Yeah, just a huge kudos to you, Mama. Thank you for sharing everything with us today. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
It is possible, and you are strong enough to do it. If you set your heart to it and you think that that's a goal you want to attain, do it. Every woman has the strength to do it, and you should too. If I can do it, you guys can do it 100%.
Carrie, thank you so much for being on the show today. We'll chat with you soon. Bye for now. Thanks for listening. Here at Women Offshore, we're dedicated to talking about what impacts women in the offshore workforce. If you've enjoyed this episode and want to contribute, please donate and consider setting up a recurring donation at womenoffshore.org/donation. Until next time, stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Before you go, here are some events on deck from my colleague Savannah at the Oil and Gas Global Network.
Hey everybody, it's Savannah from OGGN, and here are the events on deck for June 2021. This month we have 6 events, but if you'd like the full list, you can click the link in the show notes to sign up for our events newsletter. We send it out every month, and it includes more info about the events that I talk about here. We even include events that occur 2 months ahead of time, so if you're interested in always staying in the loop about oil and gas events, make sure to check that out. This month, OGGN will be hosting 2 events. One is online and one is in person. For our online event, we're hosting a live stream titled Deal Value Creation, M&A and ONG. This is going to be on June the 2nd. And for our in-person event, we're relaunching our happy hours. It's been far too long since we had a good happy hour, so I'm sure plenty of you will be excited to hear that our next happy hour will be at the Cannon in Houston, Texas on June 24th. At this event, you'll be able to meet some of OGGN's hosts and network with other oil and gas industry professionals, all while enjoying great food and drinks. We hope to see you there. Other than OGGN's events, we have 2 in-person and 2 online events. First up, we have our 2 in-person events, which are the Energy Capital Conference on June 2nd at the Omni Houston Hotel, and the U.S. Police and Fire Championships from June 10th to the 21st. The Police and Fire Championships will be hosted in multiple locations, so make sure to check out our events newsletter for more information about that. Next, we have our 2 online events, the first being the Post-Industrial Summit Series. This event actually started on May 4th, but it'll be ending later this month on June 22nd, so there's still plenty to see. And our second online event is the Big Data Industry Summit from June 9th to 10th. If you have any questions about these events or any of our shows, make sure to reach out to me through my email in the show notes. That's all for June. I hope you guys have a great month, and thanks for tuning in.